It's a pleasure to be back again at Kilkeel Presbyterian. I count many in this room as friends, certainly all of you, even those that I haven't gotten a chance to know, as brothers and sisters. My name is Daniel Visbicki. Yeah, it's okay. You take the first E and move it to the end, and it works just fine. My wife, Natalie, is here with me this year. She's sitting over there with the Donaldsons. First time she's gotten a chance to come in the 3 years that I've come. God has been very compassionate to me. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. But God's been very compassionate to me through that woman over there. And she's a great blessing to me. And as I invited you the last 2 years, you can now swarm her and ask her to tell you about the miracle of our son's birth and how God greatly revealed himself to us in that particular way. So that's like permission. You can go and to her and talk to her, and we can be here until 9 or 10 o'clock. Probably not that late. No. Nor will I be preaching quite that long. And let me just say at the outset, hi, girls, and I'm sorry I didn't realize you were going to be here. If I had known you'd be, I'm a youth pastor in America. If I had known that you were going to be here, I would have done like illustrations that had like Harry Styles or things like that. But if you don't know who Harry Styles was, don't worry about it. You can look it on the internet later. It'll be fine. I didn't really do that, but I'll try to keep it engaging. So as we start out, ask yourself this question. We'll just ponder it for a second. Would you consider yourself to be a compassionate person? Are you a compassionate person? And I think that's what this story really challenges those that claim to be followers of Jesus with. Are you the kind of person that's marked by compassion for others? And so you see the title there, Compassion and the Gospel. I'll turn to the text here. And since Stephen already read the text, we won't go back through it again. But I will pull it up on the slides here, and we'll look at a couple things together. If you have a Bible, feel free to come along with me as well. So, having answered that question, maybe in your own mind, am I a compassionate person? We have to ask the question, how would you know? What evidence would there be that you're kind of a compassionate, loving person? Maybe you could list off 5 things, or maybe it's a more of an internal sense. So one way I think that you can know what compassion is or whether or not you're a compassionate person is what barriers are you willing to get through? What obstacles are you willing to get beyond in order to show love for other people? Because in this text, we see numerous obstacles, numerous things that present themselves as, all right, we see the Levite, we see the priest. They will not show love to this man who's in great need. But there's someone who comes along, and he does. And he does. So if I were to liken it, here's an illustration. The people in... Oh, man, how am I going to do this exactly? I totally just came up with this while I was sitting over there, so this could be a real dud. Hang on, all right? So if the people are the people in need, and they are people within a city, and then the obstacles are like the wall surrounding a city, then how are you going to get to them? You're going to use the battering ram of compassion. Battering ram is like a big, like, did you see Lord of the Rings, the third one, like Return of the King, where they had that big giant wolf head battering ram and like beat down the wall? Anyways, maybe you didn't see that. Okay, so it's a thing to get in there, like to overcome the obstacle and to love people. And so here tonight, what we're going to do, I'll bounce past these really fast, go back to them. Here's the main point of what I'm going to share, hopefully over the next 15 minutes and 30 seconds. I'm timing myself. Ooh. Okay. This is it, all right? You catch this, you can hopefully not doze off or whatever, but this is it. Compassion is the key to loving and serving other people from other backgrounds and cultures with the love of Jesus. So compassion's like the equipment. It's like the cleats of love. So, and love is the actual act of like kicking the football into the goal or whatever. So it's compassion is the equipment and love is the actual action. And we would say, I would say, compassion is the key. So right away in this text, we see one interesting thing. I'll zoom back here for a second. How about right? There we go. All right. So we see Jesus at the very end of this say a very interesting little phrase. He says in, I'm going to pick it out here, verse 36. Which of these three do you think? You have a Levite, a priest, and a Samaritan. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor? Sorry about that. I'll try not to do that again. Okay. Proved to be a neighbor of those. Point beyond it. Okay. Like that. Back off. Okay. I'm a short man. I might not be able to see everything. So, which of these three proved to be a neighbor, which implies something. You're not automatically somebody's neighbor in Jesus' mind just because you live close to them. Like, what does it mean to be a neighbor is wrapped up in the kind of compassion that you have for somebody. Okay, so with that in mind, we see right away that there are several obstacles that are to be overcome. So first off, what barriers or what obstacles are there to compassionate living in this text? There's culture, there's cleanliness, and there's convenience. So different cultures involved. The question of like ritual cleanliness in the Jewish law. And then it's not a very convenient thing to save somebody's life. Like really, like you ever been in an emergency situation where you just had to stop everything, put everything down, and then go help somebody? It's not a convenient thing. So these three questions, or these three particular things, we're going to use to ask three questions. So first question we're going to ask, how were the priest and the Levite supposed to be like Jesus? What were they supposed to be like, or to be like God? How were they supposed to show compassion? So very first, in their culture. The culture of the Jews was founded upon the Old Testament law, which had at its very base love. That's what Jesus says, and how the expert at the law replies when he says, what are the greatest commandments? The greatest commandments are love the Lord, love others. And in Matthew 22, Jesus says that these two commands for love, all the other 611 commands in the Old Testament rest on those. Like those two are like the two pillars, and then everything else builds on top of that. So the law had to do with love. So here you have a Levite and a priest, and they know the law. That's what their business is like. All right, they need to know the law because they're involved in the temple worship in Jerusalem. So the priest and the Levite, they were supposed to know this law of love, including texts like Deuteronomy 10, where God commanded that you will love the fatherless, the widows, and those that sojourn among you, those that are in need among you. You'll care for them. And here you have this Levite and this priest, just they walk on. You ask the question of why. I think one of the questions of why comes into one of the other things that we're using to examine them, the question of ritual cleanliness. So if you look at the text, and am I going to do this? We'll do this really quick. Check out verse 30. There's this interesting fact right at the beginning of this parable. Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. So we ask this question, why were Levites and priests on the road to or from Jerusalem? Year-round, Levites and priests would travel to and from Jerusalem for the sake of offering sacrifices, especially centered around the Jewish feasts. So I think there's a clue here that the original readers would have understood that here is a Levite and a priest, that they're on their way to do their duty before God. They're walking to Jerusalem, or maybe from Jerusalem, and they see a dying man. And if you remember the Old Testament law, to touch somebody that was dead or to touch somebody that was dying, bleeding, would make you ritually unclean and you wouldn't be able to serve in the temple. like you'd be barred from serving the temple, maybe even under threat of death by Jewish law. So here they are walking by, and very probably they're thinking, we need to get to Jerusalem on time. We need to be able to serve in the temple. We need to get there and be clean. We've done all these ritual washings at home, and now we're going to do more ritual washings when we get to Jerusalem, and then we're going to serve in the temple. So they think they're on their way to serve God, and they're not serving God because they're forgetting to love. They think they're going to Jerusalem to do the duty that God has given them, and they've completely forgotten what the law was about, that God commanded love first and foremost. So in ritual cleanliness, we saw their culture, they should have known. In cleanliness, that wasn't the most important thing. And then it's not a very convenient thing to save somebody's life. It takes time, it takes money, as we see with the Samaritan here shortly. And maybe it would have delayed them from their task at hand. So for culture, for cleanliness, for convenience, all of these things were obstacles to compassion for them. And they didn't have enough compassion for the man to overcome that. But then somebody enters the scene.
Zoom, faster.
There he is. Whoops. 1, 2. It's the Samaritan. You don't need the slide to know that it's the Samaritan, okay? So the Samaritan enters the scene. And we ask this question, how was the Samaritan like Jesus? So the Levite, the priest, who were supposed to know this law that commanded them to love those in need, pass by. And here's a Samaritan that shows up. Now, the Samaritan would have had to overcome many cultural taboos. So there's actually laws on the book that we have from around this time, Samaritan laws and Jewish laws, that say you will not help each other in time of need. There's even one law from about 100 years after Jesus was around that threatened strict penalties and even like floggings for any Jew that helped a Samaritan like on the road. So almost like wondering if maybe this story got out and Jewish people responded by saying, no, they're different from us. So what was so different about the Samaritans? The Samaritans had the law of God, but they had a different set of 10 commandments. They thought the temple should have been someplace else. They were half Gentile, half non-Jewish in their background from several hundred years before Jesus came on the scene. They were considered like half-breeds, ethnically impure. And they didn't really know the law of God anyways, right? So they just kind of had this kind of pseudo half version of God's law. And here's this Samaritan. Somebody who would not have had very good standing in society. So he shows up, and what does he do? He sees the man, and he has compassion on him. And that overcomes those obstacles. He just like plows right through the cultural difference. His law would have said, don't touch a dead body or a dying man, because that would make you ritually unclean, and then you'd have to pay money to get a sacrifice in order to be clean so you could sacrifice before God. So that was an inconvenient thing. And then notice what takes place in terms of convenience here. I'm not even going to try to click away. You know, that's just, hopefully you've got the scripture in front of you. What does he do? He does a number of things. He sees him, he goes to him out of compassion, and then what does he do? He takes oil and wine. There's like oil and wine? What's that about? Like, okay, that's like first aid medical kit, all right, basically for the early first century. So you would use wine to cleanse the wound, and you'd use oil to help it heal. Not a cheap thing to do. Then he takes him and he puts him on his own animal, which probably means that he doesn't then continue to ride on the animal, but he walks next to it in all likelihood while this dying man is on it. Then he gets to an inn and he takes 2 days of his own wages and pays for what the man needs, and then says, basically, here's my credit card. Use my credit card for whatever you need for this man, which Maybe you girls don't quite get this, but that's a scary thing to do, to hand away your credit card to somebody, like much less somebody that you don't know. But out of compassion, he does. He's promising that he will pay whatever the man needs, whatever the man needs. So all of this comes from arising within him compassion. And I think this is really cool in the Gospel of Luke. This word for compassion is not like a normal word. It's a word that only gets used by Luke to talk about God everywhere else. So like in Luke 7:13, where Jesus sees the people and they are scattered like sheep without a shepherd, and he has compassion on them. Or in Luke 15:20, the parable of the prodigal son, where a son runs away from his father, he spends all his inheritance, and then he comes back like broken, like, I'd rather just be a servant in my father's house. And the father looks from far away, he sees his son returning, and he has compassion, this word, and he runs to his son. So it's Jesus in chapter 7, and it's in this parable of the prodigal son, God the Father, who have this kind of overwhelming compassion that overcomes barriers. So think about it this way. The Jewish expert in the law, who wants to know what he needs to do, he looks at Jesus and he says, here's the answer, Jesus, love and love. And then he says, in order to justify himself, but who's my neighbor, Jesus, really? That's not everybody, Jesus. And Jesus tells this story that would make him go, oh. And so at least one thing that it would do is it would set him ill at ease, because the people that were supposed to be like God aren't acting like God. And the people who weren't are. Totally backwards from what the expert of the law would expect. The Levite, the priest, they didn't have compassion on this man, so they kept walking. The Samaritan did have compassion, the same kind of compassion God has, and he acted to cross those barriers. So we have to ask the question now, how can we emulate, how can we be like this Samaritan who is like Jesus? Are we the kind of people that, out of compassion, say, it doesn't matter what the barriers are, I'm going to help someone in their need? Doesn't matter what the barriers are in my culture. Maybe it's not something that I'm immediately aware of. I'm going to go and care for those who are of poor standing in our culture. So how should we be like Jesus? So I'm going to speak from an American perspective for just a couple minutes. I'm not from Northern Ireland, so I can't hope to, you know, get inside your shoes and fully understand culture here. So hear me from an American perspective and think of parallels in your own world that might come along. So how, like the Samaritan, might we cross the barrier of culture or background? Back in Minneapolis at Bethlehem Baptist Church sits immediately next door to a 16 by 16 block area, which is about a mile square, give or take, where 110 spoken languages are. So if you can imagine 110 different spoken languages, I don't remember how many there are in the world right now, but right outside your door. All right. Many different cultures with many different understandings, Muslim and Buddhist and Christian from Africa and all kinds of other religious cultures right outside the door. And at Bethlehem, we have, if you're familiar with the ministry of John Piper, he holds doctrine and we hold doctrine and theology very, very highly. We have a giant document called the Elder Affirmation of Faith that spells out everything that we believe about everything you can think about, actually. It's kind of pretty wild. It's very, very detailed. And we sometimes look at other churches or others, and maybe this is, when I say we sometimes, I would better say this is a tendency, and we are not as quick to show maybe Christian compassion to other Christians who don't have the same kind of doctrinal standards that we do. Even though we might hold the gospel together closely, we look and we say, well, they're not quite like us in terms of whatever it might be. And so we're more hesitant. There's a barrier there, and there's maybe not as much compassion to reach across. Or we see, so there's a mosque just a little down from where Bethlehem is, and on Friday you can hear the imam say, with his call to prayer, it's the only time that they do it out loud outside of the inside of the mosque. And we could say, no, this should not be in America. How is this happening? We're losing our country. I've heard people at Bethlehem say that. Or we could say, there are barriers here for me knowing my Muslim neighbors, but I'm going to overcome them because I have compassion. I see them in their need and in their blindness, and I care about them. So that's culture in America. So consider, too, cleanliness. How, like the Samaritan, might we love without regard to, and I'm going to say cleanliness or acceptability. So here's a reality in Minneapolis. There are homeless people, homeless shelters, many places, but not enough homeless shelters for the homeless. And, you know, in the winter, it can easily get to, I would say, as low as negative 30 centigrade. So very, very cold outside. And often, it's actually a really interesting thing. These homeless men and women will, so they go and they get drunk to survive the night because they know the alcohol will keep them warm, basically. And so they're drunk and they're there. And I have driven by many and not offered help on my way to Bethlehem. To my shame, I would say. I don't look on them and see them in their need and reach and overcome in their barrier. Now, where I'm at now, this was the previous 4 years. Now I'm in a suburban part of Minneapolis serving at a different branch of Bethlehem's church. So there's not as many opportunities. Another way that you might think about this is, so now in America, all kinds of laws have changed in the land, and marriage can now be between two men or two women. And there is a tendency to look and to say at anybody who might be homosexual, I don't want anything to do with you. I want to stay away from you. Like, unclean, unclean. And the question for us is, do we have compassion to reach out to them and to overcome those barriers and to reach out to them with the love of Jesus? That's another one. Or consider convenience. How, like the Samaritan, might we overcome our convenience? So we all have our schedules, right? Everybody's busy. Well, I don't know how it is in Northern Ireland. Maybe it's different. Okay. In America, we're always very, very busy. Like, I look at my calendar, and I'm booked out for weeks and weeks in advance, like every day, all day. So we have to ask ourselves, are we the kind of people that are willing to lay down our convenience for the sake of love? And that's not just the kind of thing where driving to church, you see a car wreck on the side of the road and you go and help. That's the kind of thing that says, I'm going to sacrifice my convenience to love my neighbors that need Jesus, like in an ongoing way, in an ongoing long-term way. I think the ministry in Attakal, the ministry in Kitty's Road is a great example of that, where things are taking place all the time in care and compassion. So, two conclusions as we close. First, hey, there's that main point again, just for you to remember. But two things to remember. The story of the Good Samaritan, like, upends, it completely breaks our conception of what it means to be a child of God. So, it is true that doctrine matters. We must have right belief about God and Jesus. But where the gospel is held and where we love Jesus, how do we know that somebody is a follower of God actually? There's real evidence in their life. There's real fruit. And that fruit is love, driven by compassion for other people. And then two, it changes our conception of what it means to be a neighbor. A neighbor is not one by geography in Jesus' mind. One can be a neighbor and be far off. It has to do with, are you there in time of need for others? So real Christianity sees how compassionate God is and is compelled to be compassionate for others. So you see how God, through sending his son, overcame the greatest barriers. Think about this. The perfect Son of God, holy, never knowing any sin, born into a manger surrounded by probably very dirty animals, dealing with sin daily, up close and personal. Not his own sin, but that of others. Think about how inconvenient it is to die. That's the most inconvenient thing imaginable. But not just to die, but to die on a cross, to take the weight of sin on his shoulders for all who would believe, and then to rise again. This isn't the way I would do it. I'm not God. Thank God. He did the utmost, the thing that was most difficult to save, because out of compassion. And the Samaritan looks like God in that way. And so too should we. Let me pray. Father, thank you that this is true, that in the power of the Spirit, because your Son came and died, that we can be like the Samaritan. Not in our own strength, but because of the Spirit. Lord, I ask that back home in Minneapolis, here in Kilkeel, wherever your people are, that you would give us deep compassion for those in need, especially for those that are in need of a Savior. Help us to be those that speak the good news wherever we go in boldness, knowing that we too were in need of compassion, and you came to us when we were dead. You saved us. Thank you for the gospel. It's in Jesus' name I pray.